anyone from the public want to speak? Seeing none, we'll move on to action on the minutes. Minutes were May 18th. Do we have any corrections or a motion?
I make a motion that we accept the minutes as presented from May 18th, 2026.
Thank you, Kathy. Motion by Kathy.
Second.
Second by Mr. Carmichael. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Reports. Jerry.
Are we oriented this way on purpose with our podium, or can I?
Rotate a little bit.
All right.
It was really more we're checking profile. So.
You know? How did it look? I mean,
he's great.
Well, this will be our financial report for the month of May. May is 11 months through the fiscal year. So our benchmark then for our actuals to budget is 92%. You can see in the water fund, revenues continue to track under that mark. We're at 82% of budget, while expenses are right on target at 91%. In the sewer fund, revenues are tracking over at 95%, expenses under at 90%. And for our capital outlay on the water side, we're at 50% of our budgeted capital outlay. That equates to $5.4 million. While on the sewer side, we're very similar, actually, 48% of budget, but the number in terms of real dollars is much bigger, $22.7 million outlay, 11 months of the way through the fiscal year. For billed revenue and consumption, on the water fund, we had total billed revenue that was up 4% compared to May of 2025. And looking at the revenue associated with consumption, it's up 11.7%. On the sewer side, billed revenue in total was up 9.9% year over year, while the revenue associated with consumption was up 22%. Water and sewer consumption itself, year over year, those were up 9% and 7% respectively. So these graphs look at billed consumption for water and sewer. We're talking about residential, commercial, industrial consumption. These are the key drivers of our revenue for both water and sewer. And you can see in the chart here, the label I've got for that marker in May shows we're at $16.8 million year to date, and there's a negative $261,000. Showing that's we're that much below the projected budget 11 months of the way through the fiscal year. And the good news is that gap closed a little bit from April to May by about $100,000. So we made up a little ground there on the water side. And although we're tracking below, it's really not that far behind. I want to say it's about 1.5% or so below the projection 11 months through the fiscal year. On sewer, we're much stronger. We've been tracking ahead of budget. That continued with a strong month in May. So our gap here is a positive one over budget, 11 months of the way through the fiscal year. We increased that that positive gap by about $140,000. We're sitting at $19 million, almost even in terms of sewer bill consumption. For access and impact fees, it was a light month. In May, about $74,000 recorded this month. Year-to-date total is $1.8 million, and I went ahead and did the subtraction for you. So if you look at this seven-year history, the low to this point has been FY23 at $2.1 million. We would need June to come in at about $340,000, which would be our second best month of collections so far this fiscal year. If it were to pan out that way. The bigger point here, obviously, is that these have just not materialized like we thought they would. Although, to Mr. Carmichael's point, I think it was at our last meeting, these are still based on projects that, as far as we know, are good projects. And as long as they don't just stall on us, it's really just a matter of when those come in. And I'd be happy to have my much more conservative FY27 budget. Proven wrong, but we'll get into that soon enough and see how that shakes out. But obviously the lower access and impact fee revenues have played a part in lower net income. We see that most pronounced on the water side with 64% of budget so far at $6.3 million. So it's a good healthy number, $6.3 million net income, and it did increase from April to May by about $200,000, but obviously well below budget. On the sewer side, it's been helped by that build consumption, even though access and impact fees haven't come through. I also mentioned contributed capital. That grant that we got from the city is helping here as well. So we're at $9.7 million, 104% of our budgeted net income in the sewer fund. Finally, for cash reserves, we're at $61 million combined between water and sewer. On the water side, you see the change from April to May was really negligible, but we're still positioned above where we thought we would be in terms of budget and also ahead of our cash position the last two fiscal years. And then on sewer, this story is similar. Ahead of budget, ahead of where we were the past couple of years, a little bit more of a decrease there. Although I'll note, we have a practice of sending a monthly draw request to the ANRC for reimbursements from our 2024 series debt in reimbursement of the outlays we've made on our PCF project. And the state has reliably gotten those funds to us basically within a month. For whatever reason, when I submitted the disbursement request in April for $2 million, they decided to take 7 weeks to get those funds to us. So we sort of skipped over May. So we don't see that $2 million cash inflow in May. We'll see it in June. And that concludes the financial report for the month of May.
Is the water down because we had a lot of rain and people didn't turn on their sprinklers?
We were down almost immediately.
Okay.
In the first few months of the fiscal year, and we never caught up.
Okay.
So that's what I attribute it to anyway.
Your point was made though. Those are healthy numbers. I know we look at those and we compare to what our budget, but those are good healthy numbers. So
right.
Yeah. And I still believe that 27, you'll catch up a lot of that we anticipated will happen. So just, I think it's just timing. So, but the point is that they're good healthy numbers. So that's a good place to be. Good job.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Sartain.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
After last month's discussion regarding the impact fees, I did talk to my staff a little bit about how can we better track these and maybe have some more accurate projections. And so we're gonna adjust our workflow a little bit to start getting some of these input in the front end in CityWorks so that we can track these moving forward. It's going to take a little bit of time for that to start bearing fruit. It would kind of be a lot of labor for us right now to kind of go back and look through everything that we've got in the pipeline and make those projections, but we are adjusting our workflow to track those impact fees. And so as soon as we kind of have something online, I'll give you some more updates on how that's going. Our solids handling, this is just our three-week outlook. And this, I was out on vacation last week, so this is a couple of weeks old already. But everything's going vertical inside the building. There's a lot of stuff going on with between the HVAC, electrical, plumbing, fire lines, and structural supports for the aerial walkways and things. There's just a lot of vertical stuff going on, and with all that vertical construction inside the building, you know, we've had a number of kind of minor issues and conflicts that we've had to work through. We've had to adjust cable routing and plumbing and things like that, and they're kind of starting to pile up a little bit. And so we've asked our design team to and work with our contractor to kind of address some of these issues. Again, nothing major, but just several little things. And we're still waiting on a few parts from Huber, and those are trickling in. Our contractor's been dealing with that as well. But it's coming together. Here we can see some of the exterior supports to support the conveyance systems going out to the silo. This is kind of one of the examples of some of the conflicts that we're seeing. We've got a pipe coming out of the wall that's, you know, it needs to be connected to that flange, but it's going right through a beam. So, you know, just a lot of stuff like that we're working through. We've got Ground Zero Construction that's working on this phase of the sewer rehab behind the hospital. And you that have been with us for a while, you remember that we've been in this area before, and we've had groundwater before, and we're seeing that again. And again, these are a couple of weeks old, and we've just got a continuous, pretty much kind of like a spring coming out of this trench line. They've got a number of pumps over here. We were a little bit disappointed with our contractor at first when they started dewatering this trench. They basically flooded the greenway over here. We had a lot of calls on it, and so we immediately went out there and shut down the job and let them know that we've got to address the trail system. So this was their solution to build this bridge and ramp. It does the job temporarily. So they've got all their dewatering lines run under that bridge for the dewatering. So right now they're kind of, with all the rain that we've had last couple of weeks, they've been working on upstream, which is a lot drier of an area. They can get out of the water. So hopefully it dries out so they can address this area toward the northern end of the project. And so this is the area kind of back behind Chuck E. Cheese and some of those areas in here, getting in that area, digging the trench for the diversion box in there. So lots of earthwork, lots of deep trenching on this project. Chateau Sewer Main Construction, our contractor's done a pretty good job of keeping it nice and compact. They've got half of the road cut up this subdivision. Just one of the challenges has been, making sure they keep out of people's yards, making sure we maintain trash service and mail service and all that stuff. But we were initially delayed. They started trenching. The first couple of buckets they got in the ground, and they had actually wastewater coming on them in the ground. And what we'd realized is that AT&T had come through there in February, boring fiber optic cable, and they bored right through our sewer line. And so we had to repair that before we could even get started on this project. So that kind of delayed the first week of trenching on this project, but they're back on schedule now, and hopefully be out of the meat of the subdivision here by mid July. We're working through that, and the residents have been very patient with us.
Right, in a situation like that, does AT&T? I mean, obviously we have time and cost associated with having to repair that line.
We do.
Get any type of reimbursement? Do we invoice them and say, hey, by the way, you've damaged something?
We do, and we have records since we require boring permits. And correct me if I'm wrong, but since we know who that was and doing that work in there, we can turn around and charge them for our repair costs and any costs that we incurred from our contractor due to these delays.
Okay.
Because we have those bonds with the boring companies. That was part of that damage prevention ordinance that we did a few years ago when we had all these issues with boring contractors.
Any other issues, you said from April to was a couple of months there that you actually had sewage. Is there any issues there?
I mean, with all the clay pipe in there, it's really kind of consolidated that area.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I'm just glad that it was.
We didn't really have any widespread contamination, and the main part of that bore was in the top part of the pipe.
So, yeah, the main issue that is that obviously AT&T or a subcontractor damaged it, and therefore they should have to, you know, at least reimburse us for our time and our cost. Thank you.
Project status, not a whole lot's changed. We've got some engineering proposals for Highway 94 North water line improvements, and also the water master plan update to present to you today. Field operations facility, we're still negotiating that final form and content of that agreement with our architects, as well as the Arkansas Street water line extension, and completed the 2025 CIPP sewer rehab and gearing up to do the next one. Development plans, pretty familiar pattern here with commercial plan review dominating the majority of the reviews. Site development, subdivision, final plat are next highest categories, and the number of reviews trending pretty much as they have been last few months. So. Also have a detailed list of plans, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Beaver.
Well, it's been another good month of treatment. See, we're doing well. We've got our solids handling back where we like it to be, and we're keeping control of that. We'll probably have some disturbance in that a little bit with as the solids handling group starts to get to where we need to integrate with our existing system. We'll probably disrupt that. We may have some months where we struggle for that, but we'll still be able to maintain our permit. In trouble, but for right now that stuff looks really well. Not a whole lot going on the fog program, as far as, you know, actual food trucks and all that kind of stuff. Everybody's cooperating really well, and Amber's keep on top of that. Biggest news here is OMP's got their new system online. You can see that they really dropped their 750 to 75 and 182 to 75. Those are significant numbers for us, especially whenever, you know, you have the kind of flow that they have. That's a lot of pounds of loading. And one of the things I did this month on our significant events is showed you what our influent, the straight line is our design, what they actually assume at that 14 MGD flow, what our CBOD and other pollutants would be. But we'll get to that in a moment. I did go to a biosolids and residuals conference in Kansas City and gave a presentation. It was mostly to get some education credits for me for my licensing, but also it was good to go up and let other people know and network a little bit with some of the suppliers for this program to work out some problems face to face. We did have a violation this month that's not tracked on our reporting. DO, effluent DO, which at our next permit, DEQ tells us that particular requirement is going to go away because it's fairly ridiculous. We have to do some crazy stuff with physics to meet our DO, but even with what we do, as the water temp comes up, we're just not equipped. So because it got really warm really early this year, our water temp was just too high to meet the DO minimum discharge. We did notify DEQ on that and got no response back as usual. But overall, it was a fairly dry month for May. You can see about 57 MGD of rainwater, with the average daily flow of 10.9, which isn't bad for May. Obviously, it was fairly dry for May, but it was a wet month in general. May is usually wet. But you can see, we had one day, and this is total pounds. So this is concentration times your flow, gives you a total poundage of flow, if you will. And so what this indicates to us is, like, if you've got a pool filter and the guy says, oh, well, this filter will last you all year long, and he comes out and installs it, and then you've got, like, I don't know, a maple tree or an oak tree that drops a bunch of junk in your pool, he probably wasn't planning on that. So that's what we're really looking at here is total loading. It is what these are looking at. You can see ammonia is probably our closest requirement that we have, and that's based on the available for treatment. But this design did not take into account the additional aeration we put in trains 1 and 2 during our last rehab. So we've probably got a little bit of space under here, which is why we don't really struggle with it, because we have more tools that right now than what we're actually rated for. So anyway, just give you a little bit of heads up on that. This TSS, this is a number that most directly impacts our solids handling, how much solids we've got coming in and out. So everything else is phosphorus. We're well below. A lot of that's because of the efforts that Paul and Amber have on our pre-treatment program. So that's what I have for the month. If you guys have any questions, we'd be happy to take them.
Todd, on the CDs, surcharges. So with Ozark Mountain Poultry, they've always had a pretty healthy number in there. So will that now go away?
That OMP will go down a lot. Yes.
5,400. So I didn't know that. Does it just go away completely? Do they start taking care of what they need to do?
So, yeah, if you look, let me go back up to his report.
And then the Tyson numbers, both of those, you have the chicken quick, that's 7,200. Those are, it's 254,000.
Right. So this is their parts per million charge versus pound. So you can see, like, we didn't charge them anything here for TSS because that was down low enough. That's something that's new. Their CBOD, their charge here, this will probably start to come down, but it's only going to affect OMP. And so their total out of that was right at $5,500 for that month. And so if you know, that's a quarter, maybe 20%, give or take, but of our total. So yeah, it'll impact this. But it also means that we don't have the expense of our solids handling, of our aeration, of all of the things that we have to do to treat as well. So it just means it's money we're not spending that they are. So other than that, this number just kind of goes back into general funds versus our account. It looks like it helps me more than
any issues with the chicken quick number. That's a little bit higher number, the 72. I'm just looking at the numbers. This other stuff, you could talk to me all day about it, but
right.
I was really looking more at the dollars.
Yeah, the chicken quick is just, they're just overwhelming their treatment system by that much. And so this is about what it costs us to treat it. Again, it's kind of baked into the cake, if you will, in our budget, because they've been doing this for a while. It's not like they just started this. Probably in the first year they started doing this, if they realized it, if they didn't realize what was happening here with the way that we track data now, they were probably wondering why they were struggling to meet their budget. but they've been doing it long enough now that we just anticipate they're going to continue to do it, so it's budgeted in and it just comes back into our general funds. So we're kind of operating a year behind as far as dollars go, if you will. Does that make sense? Have I answered your question?
Yes, okay. In some ways, but it's really more of this, even though we see a $20,000 figure, uh-huh. I think you hear you saying is really it's just a recoup of our costs.
Yes.
It's not $20,000 that actually is a profit center because they have done something
correct.
That they, you know, outside the limit.
Correct.
We're basically just, it's a net zero. We're just trying to recoup what we got. Okay. That's all I was trying to understand.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir. That's by ordinance. We're not allowed to have profits, be a profit center. We're only really allowed to charge what it costs us. You know, we can do some things in a punitive sense, but our fees are set up, or our rules, if you will, for the permit are set up to where, okay, we're charging you based on a household strength, and so that's how you get back to zero, is if you get that constituent back to household strength. There is a section between household strength and violation where we're just going to surcharge you because it costs us that much more to do it. And we don't want households to be subsidizing the industry. And then there's a place above that where we say, okay, you're in violation. You're giving us more than we can treat. And for that, we're allowed to be punitive. So that they stay within that surcharge range, and that's where this comes from.
And somewhere along the way, I had this conversation, I don't want to go too much further, but you know, I understand the fact that we get, you know, if we're basically netting, we're basically charging them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if it costs us a dollar, they pay that dollar, but they're also not having to put the capital expenditure. If they're not going out and doing what they need to be doing, there's a cost of capital. We're basically doing the job for them.
That's correct.
So if even if it's a dollar-for-dollar swap, and I'm not having to go spend $20 million
right.
If I'm Mozart Mountain Poultry or doing something to make a capital outlay,
right.
And we're not somehow baking that into ours, we're actually still subsidizing. So that's just...
To some degree, yes.
To some degree. I mean, it just, I think somewhere along the way, it's like, okay, well, it's just easier for them to let us pay us the $5,400 than to go spend the money
yes.
to... Either upgrade or build their facility. So
right.
enough of that.
Because they'd rather take that $5,400
sure,
and do something different.
That's right. Yes.
No, I don't think that Tyson number will improve as well.
No, but what they're doing is nothing to do with treatment. It's about measurement. What we're having to do is about measurement.
So to your point, yeah,
right.
They're all right with that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'd pay you $7,200. I might have to spend a bunch of money, capital,
right.
to try to do it. It's so, and for us, it's just over time. How long do you do that? And say, okay, if it taxes our system, you have to spend money to do it. And somewhere, you're still out of balance. So
it would be interesting to see if we could build in capital costs on top of that because we're depreciating the plant
mm-hmm.
faster.
Sure.
Not much. I mean, you know, it's not a huge amount, but...
It's bigger than you think because it does trip some expansion
mm-hmm.
sooner versus not. And that's part of the reason why I put in that, the treatment, where we come in. So if you look at our CBOD, we're fairly close, and ammonia, we're fairly close. Well, if you go up to... There's CVOD and take Tyson's Chicken Quick, right? They're the largest of that parts per million, and their charge is fairly large for that, as well as our nitrogen. He's called it nitrogen, and their nitrogen charge, though they're not hurting us. But if I recall, and it's because they have been there, they've been doing this. I want to say our consultant looked at all of that, the depreciation and all the things that capacity takes from us as well as they could. So it's a pretty good number. I mean, as far as actually hitting our costs, if I remember right, that to your point, it would be a better citizen if they were to actually get their stuff down to where we're not having to surcharge at all.
And last thing I'll say, it's not punitive if we have an actual cost.
Right.
Hard cost, people, time, and energy. That's also if we then have to spend capital to improve our system to do what they should be doing, that's real cost.
Right.
So just as you think about it, that's it. So.
Agreed. Thank you, sir. Anything else?
Thank you. Mr. Short.
Well, it is finally time again for our water master plan. We had a committee of some different employees. We had five different staff members look through and rate their different engineering firms. It was pretty close this year, but Burns and McDonald came out on top. How we've kind of directed them for this contract is to set it up more like we did with our sewer master plan. So we do have the ability, if needed, that we can add additional task orders, which obviously will be coming back to you. But it's set up so it's much easier to add in task orders if we need to run individual scenarios, because they'll be redoing our water model. So that's why this contract is set up a little bit differently than the average setup. But we, the staff is recommending, if I can get on down to the bottom of it, because we've got two different contracts set up here. But they came in around $300,000, and I'll get to the actual number once I find the bottom here. So $337,000 is set up as a lump sum, not to exceed. But staff recommends approval. If you have any questions or what we looked at, I'd be more than happy to go over.
When would this begin?
We'll have to go through finalizing the contract, but once we get that done, they'll get started. Our goal would be to have them able to do some of the testing while it's nice and hot and our usage is at its higher point. That way it's a better stress on the system, gets a little better, dialing into the model.
All right, so we have a motion to accept.
I move approval of the service agreement with Burns McDonald, total amount not to exceed $337,000, and also authorization to negotiate the final form and content of the agreement.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Mr. Carmichael and a second by Ms. McClure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think you're here for bid results as well.
I thought that was getting moved to the bottom. So we had bid results for some sewer rehab work. We've been consistently doing this every year. We budgeted this year for $3 million. And so we've got, this is for unit pricing on this. Vortex came in as the low bid at $2,728,640. So we're asking for approval to accept this bid for the unit pricing and allowing us to do the budgeted $3 million worth of work.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Short? Okay, do we happen to have a motion?
I move approval for the approved budget amount up to $3 million with, I guess, Vortex at $2,728,640. Does that cover what you need up to the $3 million? So I make a motion to approve that.
Present the item as presented.
As presented. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, thank you, Ms. McClure. So we have a first by Mr. Carmichael, a second by Ms. McClure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Travis.
Travis is not here today, so I'll
handle this one. This is a design services contract proposal from HAF Engineering, and I'm going to scroll down a little bit to kind of, I think we've got some project exhibits here. This is one of the projects that was outlined in our last water master plan update that extends north of Hudson up to the Rogers City limits near Brush Creek. And so this is an older 8-inch cast iron line. We've had several breaks on it, but you know, the master plan also noted the need for increased capacity, especially towards the airport, which has been kind of one of our weak points in our system as far as being able to provide fire flow for some of those hangars. I think we discussed that a little bit before. And so it's a substantial length of water line. I don't have the exact footage, but you know, that's going to run all the way kind of past Little Flock Drive, all the way to Buttery Road, and that will terminate up here with an existing. This line actually used to feed Pea Ridge before Pea Ridge was supplied by Benton, Washington Regional Public Water Authority. And so, and we have had discussions with Pea Ridge about reinstating that metering station for a backup connection for them. I met with the mayor a couple of weeks ago. That was one of the recommendations of their water master plan. So we're looking at that and also getting our own emergency connection with Benton, Washington, which will be in this area. And so we'll have a couple of redundant connections in this area that will be associated with this project. This is a 12-inch water line. So HAF has presented this proposal, which includes survey, design, permitting, bidding, and construction services, as well as geotechnical sub-consultants, for a total hourly services of $647,685. We'd gone back and forth a couple of times and had them sharpen their pencils, and we believe this is a good price for these, good estimate for these services. So we request approval and further request authorization and negotiate the, and approve the final form and content of the agreement.
Thank you. Do we happen to have a motion to approve the design services?
I'll make a motion to approve the design services agreement with HAF Associates Incorporated with the total amount not to exceed $647,685. And then staff further requests authorization to negotiate and approve the final form and content of the agreement.
So we have a motion by Kathy. Do we have a second?
Second, dear.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Mr. Dover.
Good afternoon. Every year we have our compensation consultant kind of give us a range that's based on a myriad of metrics, the region, nation, everything else. And what they told us this year is between 3% and 4% merit. That's great, and we prefer to have most of that in merit, i.e. performance-based, but everyone, the COLA is going to be much larger this year. So to be prudent with the budget and what we put in there, you know, 2 years ago, or roughly a year and a half, 2 years ago when we did the rate study, we had looked at 20 years of COLA data and thought we had it pretty well, but it's a little higher this year. So that said, you know, to not get out of budget and everything else, the merit's only 0.5. Again, we don't like that. We don't want that. But that's where we have to stay within our numbers and everything else that we're bound to for the next 4 years. And again, we'd like that to be a different composition, much more merit-based, performance-based, so that we could reward the folks that need it, that deserve it. It just didn't work out that way this year. So I'd ask for your approval of this pool of merit increase funds for Rogers Water Utilities for the next budgeted year.
What was the COLA?
The COLA last year was 2.8. Okay. If you look at everything now, it's roughly 3.5,
okay,
maybe higher. And of course, nobody can go 5-6% year over year with salaries, and you'll get too top heavy in the whole thing. So we're just trying to.
And what do we know?
Still feel, I mean, if it was a 3-4, we may still be over it, and we will match whatever the city does as we're part of the component of. I always do the COLA, so we'll match that.
What do we build in the budget? What do we put in the budget?
For the budget, it was under 4.
So we've got, we'll cover up to 4 in the budget under COLA.
But it could be even higher than that this year, so we're just trying to be financially responsible and plan right, and hopefully next year that's not the case. Again, so that we can reward the folks that should be rewarded. This was a tough one. It's a tough one to sell to the population as well, and me. But there's really no other way to do it. It wouldn't be financially responsible for us to come up here and ask for 6 or 7, 10%, 11% of the people in the nation even get a COLA. And so most don't get any.
Well, I'd move approval for resolution number 26-15, resolution approving the pool of merit pay increase funds.
8.5%. Okay, we have a second.
Second.
Okay. Thank you.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes.
I'm presenting resolution 26-16, proposing the updates to our compensation administration policy, specifically adjusting our pay ranges for all utility positions. So I'll cover just a few of the changes that we're proposing in this, and then any questions you have on that. So our pay scales reflect the city's adopted 2.8% cost of living adjustment that was applied citywide this January. And that increase was added to each position's midpoint, forming the baseline for this year's structural adjustments. And then the second change is the midpoints of each of these positions were elevated. So market data was provided by an independent compensation consultant. And for entry-level positions, the staff recommendation increases the midpoint by 2.7%. We've prioritized increasing these lower pay scales where market pressure is greatest. At the top end of our pay scales, the midpoint increases by 2.2%. So should these pay scales be approved, the pay rates of some of our employees will fall below what we consider starting pay of 85% of midpoint. Those employees would see pay increases to that 85% mark. Most employees are not going to see any changes to this, but the benefit would be that there is increased headroom between our current rates of pay and the maximum in that pay scale. Going forward, we do expect to bring these pay scale adjustments at least twice a year, once in conjunction with the mid-year COLA, and then the second time to accommodate any market adjustments now in July. There is a revised pay scale, a title change, so the position formerly listed as system administrator has been retitled to IT system administrator, and that's just a clarifying update. There's no change in classification, pay range, or reporting structure to that. So with that being said, staff recommends approval for resolution 2016 and the pay scales as presented.
All right, thank you. Do we have any motions on resolution 2616?
I move approval of resolution 26-16, which is compensation administration policy for effective July the 1st.
Do we happen to have a second?
Second.
All right, motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passed.
unfortunately, I don't have documentation or paperwork for you, but just to kind of give some clarification around what we're talking about, Executive Services Finn was our most recent janitorial provider, and they have terminated their contract with us. And so we've gone back to the bid selection and Elsa's cleaning service, and is the next most responsive bidder based on pricing and just the requirements of what we're asking for. So we're asking approval to move forward with Elsa's cleaning service and further request authorization to negotiate and approve the final form of content of the agreement.
Okay. We are asking for a motion to approve a new janitorial contract with Elsa's?
Elsa's Cleaning Service.
Elsa's Cleaning Services.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 26-17, appointing an...
Sorry.
Yeah, it's Elsa's.
Yeah, sorry. I kept looking on there thinking.
You're good.
I didn't see it. Okay. Because it wasn't on there.
Yes, right here.
Okay, yeah. I make a motion to for the selection of the janitorial service to Elsa's cleaning service. Is that one? And you guys, and then.
Request authorization.
And the authorization to approve the final.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Mr. Morgan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Mr. Frazier.
Madam Chairman. Unfortunately, we need another resolution for an organizational representative for litigation. We've got an imminent dispute with, we had a dispute for some time for kind of a bit of one, but it appears to me that it's going to be in litigation very soon. We received a demand from a new attorney, a new law firm, for a payment far in excess of what we believe is owed under that contract. So, anticipating that litigation, where staff's asking for authorization for Brent to be the organizational representative to approve whatever legal documents need to be filed, either claims and documents defending against claims, just getting ready for the litigation.
Make a motion to approve resolution 26-17, Brent being our representative. Anticipate the litigation, so that's going to be fun.
Motion by Mr. Carmichael. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, second by Mr. Morgan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Mr. Frazier.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no other business, do you have any comments? Seeing none, we are adjourned.